All right. Go ahead and open your Bibles tonight over to what is a very, very famous portion of Scripture, Romans chapter number 10. That, of course, means I'm not going to say anything new or novel to you tonight. That's, my opinion, a good thing, because if I say anything new or novel, it's probably not biblical. Romans chapter number 10. Now, I had to do some switching around. When you're a pastor, you got to be kind of quick on your feet, kind of flexible. I had other subject in mind tonight. We're going to do devotion around surrounding the ordinance of baptism. We'll save that for another time. And I was planning on only doing it for about 15 or 20 minutes. This is going to last a little bit longer than 15 or 20 minutes tonight, what I've got. But we'll get you out of here on time. I plan on that anyway. Romans chapter number 10. Now, fortunately, I'm not flying totally in the dark. I sent this. This is another outline I sent to Nathan at one time. Still have never preached it, but I didn't spend a lot of time brushing up on it. But we'll fake our way through it the best we can. Romans chapter number 10 is going to be my text. Listen to what Paul said, starting at verse number 11. Many of us could almost quote this by heart. The Bible says, "For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth in him," he said, "shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like the sound of that. Some of our Sovereign Grace brethren are threatened by that statement. I'm not at all. I like it because I am part of the whosoever. It's whosoever will. It does not talk about whosoever won't. We know God makes us willing, but whosoever will call upon, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, "Lord, who hath believed our report?" So then, he says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, he says, by the word of God. Now let me just go ahead and quit my scripture reading right there. I want to talk to you tonight, and I didn't know what else to call this little talk, but I want to talk to you tonight on what I've called biblical faith. I have always been interested in the subject of faith. I'm talking about biblical faith. I want to know more about it. I don't know about you. I need to know more about what the Bible teaches about not just where our faith comes from and how we get faith, but also how we might develop our faith. You understand, Peter said that you take that faith and add to it. Now, folks, it's important to understand faith is a gift from God. Faith does not come. We're not able to stir up faith of our own accord. Our faith, if we have any, is given to us as a gift from God. But what Peter said, you take that faith. In fact, Peter says you give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and all those things that Peter lists. So I've always been interested in the subject of faith, and also the importance of growing our faith. I don't know about you, but I want to have more faith. I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Listen, faith is, we know, absolutely essential for the child of God. We are saved by faith. That's what the Bible says. We know that. We are saved by faith, but the Bible also says we are to walk by faith. The Bible even says we live by faith. Everything we do, and the Bible actually talks about dying in faith. In other words, everything we do is contingent upon this thing of faith that we find in the Word of God. Faith is absolutely essential. You might say it like this: faith is the medium of exchange with God. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, beloved, it's like going to, if you go to a grocery store to buy groceries, you got to have money. If you don't have any money, there ain't no use going to a grocery store. Well, listen, going to the grocery store without money is kind of like going to God without faith. It is that medium of exchange between us and God. That's how essential faith is. Jesus said one time, according to thy faith, be it unto thee. He didn't say according to your fame. He didn't say according to your fortune or to your friends or even to fate. But according to your faith, be it unto you. That's how essential faith is. You understand then, faith is our greatest asset as the children of God. You understand? Now, you could turn that around and say that if faith is our greatest asset, then unbelief is our greatest liability. Amen. Isn't that the case? Listen, it is unbelief that is really at the heart of all of our troubles, of all of our failures, of all of our sin. Unbelief is at the heart of all those things. It was unbelief, if you think about it, that was at the heart of Adam's rebellion against God in the very beginning. Adam did not believe God, and that led to his rebellion. In fact, it was unbelief that was at the heart of Israel not going into the promised land. It was unbelief that was at the heart of the Jews' rejection of Jesus as the Messiah. If faith is our greatest asset, unbelief is our greatest liability, you see. In fact, the Bible says, he that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So listen, unbelief kind of shuts the doors of heaven. Faith opens up the doors of heaven. Jesus said one time, and I'll talk more about that in a minute, listen, if thou canst believe, then all things are possible to him that believeth. So obviously then faith, while unbelief is our greatest liability, faith is our greatest asset. It is indeed that medium of exchange between us and God. So I've always been interested in this thing of faith, and I fear what many of us think about as being faith is not faith at all. Faith is more than just a mere belief. Real faith, if it is faith, is belief coupled with obedience, coupled with action. You see, that's faith. And so I want to think tonight, and I'll be done in plenty of time, but I want to think tonight about the importance of biblical faith, not just how we get it, but how we increase, how we add to our faith. Because I'm like the disciples, Lord, increase my faith. I want to have more faith in him. You understand what I'm saying? So let me divide this in three simple ways. Now, I did not have a lot of time to add anything to this. I'll just give you the main points on the screen, and just listen to me as we talk through these three thoughts. In the first place, what I would call the reality of biblical faith. Now, the Bible says in verse number 11, I think it's very important, the wording, that the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him. Do you understand there is no accidents in the Word of God? He didn't just say whoever believes in him, but he said whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That is the essence of what biblical faith is all about. Listen, faith is a reality. Faith is something that has substance to it. Faith is not, it is not just a strong belief. It is not just a hope. It is certainly not a leap in the dark. But faith has reality. It is real. Now, I thought about this. Real faith must have the right object. Now, you say what he mean by that. Paul says again, for whosoever believeth on him. In other words, real faith has Christ as its object. Now, I say that because how many times have you heard somebody say something like this? Well, you just got to have faith that it'll work out. You know, something go bad in somebody's life. And I've heard unsaved people use that terminology. Well, you know, you just got to have faith. I can't help but wonder, faith in what? You see, because faith itself, folks, listen, faith, there is no power in faith. Now you say, what are you talking about? In other words, faith is not a magic spell. Just because you believe something strong enough doesn't make it so. Am I making sense? Your faith has got to have the right object. If you have faith in the wrong thing, it is not real faith. Misplaced faith, and this is what I fear happens in the cults, and in Catholicism and things like that, misplaced fear of faith is dangerous, beloved. And I'll add this, you must not just have faith in faith. Am I making sense? Your faith has got to have the right object. Listen, it is not faith that moves mountains. It is God that moves mountains because of your faith in him. Am I making sense? Anyway, I'm talking about the reality of biblical faith. Now, there's a lot of people that think faith is kind of like positive thinking. That if you think it and you believe it strong enough, but the reality of biblical faith, it has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with God. It's got to have the right object. I got to tell you, folks, you can have all the positive thinking in the world and it still won't amount to much. I guarantee you that sooner or later you're going to face something in this life that's going to overcome your ability to think positively. You know, your faith has got to be in the right thing. Now, the Apostle Paul said this in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, who is the author of, and he says, the finisher of our faith. Don't look to yourself. Don't look to your preacher. Don't look to your church. Certainly don't look to your faith. You look to Jesus. It's got to have the right object. Don't have faith in your faith. You have faith in God. Now, I thought about so many things, but here's one of the things I thought about. Even weak faith in the right object, and I hope I say this right, is better than strong faith in the wrong object. Did I say that right? Even weak, listen, God honors even weak faith. In Mark chapter 9, I think it is, there was a man that came to Jesus one time with his son who was possessed of a devil. And he brought him to Jesus to heal him. And Jesus said a remarkable thing around verse 23 in that chapter. Jesus said, you know what? If thou canst believe, then all things are possible to him that believeth. By the way, turn that around. If you don't believe, then nothing is possible. But you got to deal with what Jesus said. If thou canst believe, then all things are possible to him that believeth. And I read that and I think, man, how weak is my faith? The man said this, and this is how I feel. Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. You see, that man had very weak faith, but it was in the right thing. I shouldn't say it that way. It was in the right person. I believe, and God honored that weak faith. In fact, Jesus said one time, now this really convicts me, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, I'm talking about itty bitty faith, but if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, well, you could say to this mountain, remove from thence, and it would be so. You know, now how little is my faith? So faith has got to have the right object. If you want to have great faith, folks, you got to know God. That's the thing. I got some scripture. Here's what the psalm said in Psalm number 9. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. To know him is to trust him. Right? Daniel chapter 11. The people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. I think about how piddly my faith is many times, and how little things I accomplish in the cause of Christ. They that really know him, he said, man, they're going to do exploits. And it goes like that throughout the scriptures. If you really want to have great faith, you've got to know God. It's got to be in the right object. He said, whosoever believeth on him. Beloved, that is the reality of biblical faith. So we have the reality of biblical faith. Number two, we also have the root, what I would call the root of biblical faith. Verse 14 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by what? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now listen, this is where I really got stuck. Do you ever... Jay says this all the time. He outthinks himself. I outthink myself sometimes. But I think there's something important there in the connection between this book and our faith. In order to have faith, you must hear from God. That makes sense? Faith is not of ourselves. Faith is given to us as a gift from God. You better get Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 clear in your mind. When Paul says, for by grace are you saved, he says, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift from God. Can I say it very plain to you folks? Nobody has the ability to believe unless God gives it to them. Can I say that again? Because you got to get it right in this free will theology that says God loves everybody, didn't choose anybody, but he hopes somebody will accept him. Nobody can believe in God unless God gives the ability, God-given faith, to believe in God. Hebrews chapter 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, I've said this to you before, but the word substance there literally means assurance. The word evidence there means conviction. So really what Paul is saying, he says, listen, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and then it is the conviction of things not seen. That can only come from God. I've said this to you often. Biblical faith is that which sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and then receives the impossible. Isn't that a good definition of faith? But faith is the substance of faith. Listen, it has substance because it is based on the Word of God. You understand what I'm saying is faith. Folks, the root of faith is the very word of God. And by the way, this is where, this morning I was talking about reading. I'm not a Greek scholar, but there's actually two different Greek words for the English word, word. Can't believe I said that right. Got it out. There's two different, can I do it again? There's two different Greek words for our one English word, word. It's hard to say. The first one is logos. The other one is rama, if I'm pronouncing that, R-A-M-A. Now I'm going to teach you something because this is where our faith comes from. Logos is the written word, the living word. Jesus is our logos. Rama is the spoken word. And the Greek word that's used here when it says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word or rama. Now I'm going to teach you something because here's what happens. When the word of God is preached, God communicates to us through that word and gives us the gift of faith. You hear the word of God preached. God speaks to your spirit, speaks to your soul, and communicates, am I saying that right? Faith to you. So folks, if you're listening to God, that's where we get our faith from. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him whom they have not heard? In whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? There is something powerful about the word of God. Being born again, I got into it was a foolish thing I did. I've done a few foolish things in my life. Years ago, when the internet first came out and they had email, I thought it'd be good to get into a discussion group on that email. That was the stupidest thing I ever did. I had thousands of emails cramming in my inbox all the time, and I was usually mad about every one of them. It was a waste of time. But I had a bunch of fellows on there that were of the Reformed Baptist stripe and of the, you've heard of the Primitive Baptist, the Hard Shells. And they called me all kinds of names. They called me a gospel regenerationist. They said, you believe that God uses the gospel to quicken people? You betcha. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God. God has chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? By the word of God. I don't understand it all, but I know this. When the word of God is spoken, when the word of God is preached, God supernaturally many times uses that word to bring faith to us. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we have the reality of faith. It's got to be in the right object. It's got to be in God. The root of biblical faith is this book, the word of God. Lastly, we have the result of biblical faith. Now, this is important because, listen, faith is not getting your will done in heaven. We've somehow got it all messed up with the name and claim it, the onslaught of the charismatic movement, and they actually almost teach you that through faith you can somehow convince God of doing something. That's not it at all. You cannot manipulate God. Faith is not getting your will done in heaven. Faith is desiring God's will to be done on earth. You say, what do you mean by that? When God speaks to us through his word, that's God's revealed will. Faith is desiring to fulfill that will. That's why I say faith is not just, I hope I'm making sense. Faith is not just a belief in something. Faith is belief coupled with obedience. Faith is finding out what God's will is
and desiring to fulfill God's will. Faith is belief with legs. Did I say that right? Listen to what he says in verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? That is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. They have not obeyed the gospel. He says, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? That's not faith. Some people hear the truth, never do anything about it. That's not faith. It is not enough just to say, I believe in Jesus. The devils believe and they tremble. It's faith is belief coupled with obedience. Am I making sense? Verse 21. But to Israel saying, all day long have I stretched forth my hands to a disobedient and gainsaying people. The word gainsaying there means stubborn, obstinate. You hear the word, you know what the word says, but you will not do it. What does James say? That kind of faith is dead, right? But the results of biblical faith is obedience. It's putting faith into practice. And here's the thing. The more you are obedient to God, the more faith he gives you. You want to know how to increase your faith? Be obedient to what you already know. Isn't that right? That's biblical faith. I don't know if I'm making any sense or not. But this is honestly the way I feel most of the time. Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. I am so thankful that God worked a work of grace in my heart. August the 22nd, 1982, God gave me faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, granted me repentance, and saved my soul. That's biblical faith. He says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Beloved, I am thankful for faith that God has given to us. Let's stand and I'll quit.